Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, TGIF, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this fabulous Friday, and it is, it's almost spring. I'm so happy. But that does mean that we're supposed to be in the midst of some spring cleaning, or some of us should be finishing up, some of us probably just getting started, but in any case, there's always time to do a spring cleanup and fix-up of your home, and we are happy to have back with us Mr. John Robinson, our helping handyman. Good morning. How are you, sir? Is he not there? Oh, dear. He is probably busy as I don't know what. So I'm going to try to check and find out where he is in a minute, or give him a minute to get on the show. But in any case, you all know anyway that it's just that time. You know, things are kind of, you know, you've been in a little bit. Even in Florida, we've had a few chilly days and not really an incentive to get out and do anything outside, but the weather is really, really becoming more and more beautiful. And this is the time to check on the things such as, does your AC work? Is your garden in good shape? All that type of stuff, things that you want to check on with weather stripping, things inside and out. But in the meantime, let me try to track down Mr. Robinson and see if he is available still. Also, the second half, we're going to have someone on from the SBDC because this month we were celebrating Small Business Development Center Day earlier, and I want to get a little bit more insight and help you get a little bit more insight if you are starting a small business or if you have a small business, how the SBDC helps in terms of shoring up small businesses and providing information. So we're going to have that on the second half hour. Anyway, if you have some home spring cleaning tips, give us a call. The number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. Going to try to track down Mr. Robinson. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the art with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you?
Hi there, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Mr. Robinson, are you there with us?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, sir? Happy spring.
Blessings to you. Great rising.
Good, Yes. Yeah. So, I know you're busy. Is this time of year, does it seem to, like, crank up a little bit more?
Well, yes, income tax time. Everybody want to spend a little of their money and trying to get those things. They've been, especially with because of the pandemic, people have been sitting around the house. Well, not necessarily sitting around the house, but they've been home. So by them being home, they're able to see a lot of things that they want to correct and things they want to get worked on. So, yes, I'm literally wide open. And then with the stimulus going through, you got I got a couple more extra. You know, people have to understand. Sometimes I'm like booked out like 2 months sometimes.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
I'm thankful for it. Thankful for it.
Well, we're thankful to have you out there helping us out. I want to ask you about what type of cleanup, fix-up projects get the most bang for the buck?
Say that one more time. I didn't quite catch what you were saying.
Okay. I was asking what type of cleanup, fix-up projects get more bang for the buck?
Let's see. I don't know. I'm getting people are text messaging me. as soon as you start talking, I done got two text messages right when you was asking me the question. Can you run one more time for me, please?
Yes,
please.
Sir, I can. I was asking what type of cleanup or fix-up projects around the house get the most bang for the buck?
Well, right now with the weather like it is, it's nice and cool outside right now. So right now would probably be a good time for people to, you know, change plants out if they want to change plants out, and you know, do a little yard work like putting mulch down to help with the new plants that you're putting down. That helps keeps the moisture in the ground so that the plants will live a lot longer, and it'll be less maintenance on them, less water you have to put down for them. But I'm not a outdoorsy person that does too much of that. I mainly focus on the inside of the house stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I try to give you whatever information that I have to help out the listeners. And yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is types of flooring in terms of stuff inside the house and things that I guess I've come across when we've been kind of looking at flooring. We haven't done it yet, but we've got to do something downstairs. I was always kind of leaning maybe toward tile or laminate or something like that, but I understand that vinyl's kind of the big deal right now. Can you talk a little bit about the pros and cons of the different types of flooring?
Yes. Okay, well, right now everybody is running toward this vinyl flooring.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful flooring. The only thing about it does come with a warranty, but it's kind of hard to get the warranty unless something has literally damaged itself. Because what they normally do, they try to blame it on the installer, saying the installer may have done it wrong. And but sometimes that stuff moves. It moves on you. Like when you go in someone's house and you see their flooring has separated, that means that it's moving more than it's supposed to be moving. And it comes a lot of the times with what word am I looking for? It comes with the little instruction comes with the package, but it's kind of hard to, like, when I'm installing, I do what I normally do with all flooring. It's pretty much the same thing, cut and dry. But when you have people that, you know, they feel like since we're in the house, we should be able to walk on it, and normally you're not supposed to walk on it for a certain extended amount of time. But the only time that you get your best results is when the house is empty, or maybe you go on vacation and let the person come in and do it while you're gone, so that it has time to, like any kind of adhesives that are used, they're given time to work and dry up completely rather than things not being able to dry. Let me see if I'm saying that right. Yeah, things are not able to dry properly, especially when you put down, because you have different types of laminate. You have lock-in. Let me start over. They're mostly all lock-in, but some have a little adhesive on them. So when the adhesive gets like a little trash in it at some point, maybe during installation or it just doesn't grab a hole like it's supposed to, and it ends up being a little issue later on down the line, and you just do your best to install it, because even though floors may look perfect, they're not perfect. Sometimes the flooring is not level, and it's just a part of, you know, doing the installation. You make it look as best you can so that the customer will be happy.
Okay, so what about is there a certain type of padding that goes under these different floors, and does that make a difference in terms of how steady the floor is and whether or not it gaps?
Well, the padding is just what it is. It's padding. It doesn't have anything to do with the floor moving, because the padding is just to take away any kind of like I call it the high heel test. It's like when a woman is walking through a room with some high heels on, and you can hear her walking. It's like you can hear the tink 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 walking through, and that also happens like when you're doing tile. You know, someone didn't put enough adhesive down on the floor, the mortar down on the floor, then you'll have hollow spots in your tile. So that's where you get that sound whenever the flooring is put down, even though you're using padding. But I've never heard it too bad, unless it was wood floors, like actual wood floors. They echo really, really bad. As beautiful as they are, they still have an echo sound to them when ladies walk through with the high heels. The vinyl,
so
absorbs a lot of the sound too.
I was curious though, like, so once it's down, if you are having those issues, is there any remedy for it once the floor is already down?
No, ma'am. No, once it's down, it's down. Mm. Yeah, once it's down, it's down. It's really, you spend your money to try to get the best product you can. A lot of people, their idea of spending a lot of money is spending like maybe $2 or $3 on flooring. And because you got flooring out there that's like 99 cents. So they're thinking because they're spending $2, they're spending a lot of money. But in order to get a floor that's quiet, $5 or $6 a square foot on flooring that's not going to have any sound to it. It's just it's like they always say, you get what you pay for. So you actually have to spend a lot of money to get some of those floors. I mean, and don't get me wrong, there's still some cheaper flooring that looks nice and that works out good. It's just you just need the luck of the draw sometime on that stuff.
Well, that's good to know. So What else should we be working on around this time, getting things back, you know, back square so we can enjoy our homes with this wonderful weather that we're having?
Well, the summertime is coming up. Making sure that that your windows and stuff are operational. Making sure you, even though you're not using them per se, you still need to exercise those windows. You need to open them up. At least I wouldn't even say this is too much. I would say probably every 3 months you probably need to open your windows up and exercise them, because if you don't, it's just like anything else. If something sits too long, it'll stop working, or it'll dry rot on you, or it will get damaged. It would tear itself up.
Okay.
It's just like if you got a car sitting by the side of the road, or a car sitting in your yard, stuff starts tearing up on that car. It's just like even in expensive cars, those batteries will run down if you don't crank those cars often enough, because they continuously use the batteries to keep the little sensors and stuff going on the inside of the cars. But we're not talking about cars. We're talking about flooring and things about the house. But just make sure you exercise those windows, the doors. Go ahead and check and make sure you don't have no light coming from outside. And if you do have light coming from outside, then you need to check your weather stripping. Maybe there has gotten some dirt or something in there, which is keeping it open. And make sure you, while you vacuum in, take the time out to maybe take the vacuum and vacuum down in the little crevices so that it's free of debris, so it doesn't get behind the rubber or the vinyl, and keep it deform it so that it's kind of sticking out and pushing out. So it's just, you have to take your time to, you know, do a little extra stuff as far as weatherproofing and getting stuff ready to. Like during the summer, there are some cool nights you want to open up your windows, but even during the winter time, you still need to. We don't have a big winter here, but it's good to exercise your windows and stuff so that you don't have those issues later on down the line.
I wanted to ask you about one project, and that is replacing.
Yes,
faucets.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of the newer faucets are washerless, so you don't have, I guess I'm just venturing to say, you don't have the problems that you do with the older faucets. Do you have any tips for changing out faucets?
Well, when you're changing out your faucets, they have a lot of new little gadgets that they come with. They have the touchless. But, of course, if you're going with this new stuff, some of that stuff requires batteries, and some require for it to be hooked up to some power source. And it takes a little bit more to install those. So if you're used to somebody changing a faucet out for maybe $75, then putting one of those special kind in, you're probably going to get an upcharge on it because it's a little bit more time consuming. And then you want to make sure that it's working correctly for the customer so that the customer is satisfied with your work. So as far as the new ones, they're beautiful. They even have a kind with a little light that when the water come on, they change colors with hot and cold. And it just, you know, right now people they are more so into gadgets, seeing different stuff and you know, showing it off. Oh, look at my faucet, the light changes. But once that luster wears off, then you have a faucet, light won't come on because your warranty is already up. normally that stuff lasts just long enough for the warranty. It doesn't last a whole super long time. I can't see something like that lasting 2 years. I just can't see it. I can see it probably lasting about a year, and then after that year is up, then you're gonna have to be looking at just a regular old faucet and things like that. And also, sometimes you can fix the faucets yourself. Say if you got a faucet that the water's not coming out too well, sometimes it's just as simple as changing out the aerator, and that's the little piece that the water comes through on the bottom. So you just have to just take your time to figure out what it is before you call the handy person, because it could be something very simple that you can fix. And I try not to say handyman anymore. I try to say contractor, because you have
you have
people that they want to pay you less because you say you're a handyman. And I know that's what you call me, your helpful handyman.
Yes,
but,
sir. All right. We will change that right now.
Yeah. Even though I don't have all my contractor license as far as doing electrical and doing plumbing, a lot of that stuff I know how to do the code. And I would say I know how to, because of the years that I've been doing it, I've gotten all the certifications that I need to do what I need to do, where I want to go right now. Of course, I probably would be nice if I got my contractor's license, but I'm not into building. I like the repair part of it. I like being able to go into and fix things and that customers have had a problem with. There's only a couple of occasions where I've had instances where it was something I couldn't fix and it had to be referred out to a specialist. That means someone that's all they do is just that one thing.
I was going to say, you do sub out a lot of stuff, right, sometimes?
No, I do a lot of work myself. I don't sub out very much. I had one house over in Ocoee where the lady had a smell in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And we just could not figure out where that smell was coming from. And they actually had to, bring in an environmentalist person to see if there was, like, mold in the air and things like that. But we just could not figure out where the smell was coming from.
Sometimes it's a trapped animal, sometimes, unfortunately.
No, it was a chemical. It was a chemical smell.
It was chemical. Oh my goodness.
Yes, ma'am. It was a chemical smell, and it was a very strong smell. I mean, you could smell it as soon as you walk in the door, and the homeowner, she would get dizzy at times because of the smell. And I mean, they spent thousands of dollars on these flooring, but we think that whoever installed the floor. Whatever chemical they use to put the flooring down, we think that maybe that had a recall on it or something happened with the chemical, the adhesive they put down on the floor. And because it was throughout the house, that's why the smell was all over the house where they put that type of flooring. And we did several little things. I told them change to a different type of filter system, because they can smell it coming through the AC, and it was horrible over there. But I haven't heard from the customer in a couple of months, so I don't even know if they got that resolved. But it was something that they brought me in on to find out what the smell was. It wasn't something I installed per se, but I was just going over to help them. Like I said, I can't answer all your questions, but I do my best. With the knowledge I have, so yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. So now also, wanted to ask you, you mentioned windows, and this is probably a good time to start changing out windows with hurricane season coming in a few months.
Absolutely.
Well, a couple months probably, yeah. So do you have a preference in terms of the type of windows that you like?
Well, I had a customer, it's funny you asked that, I had a customer to ask me about that like a day or so ago, where she said she had heard that Home Depot wasn't selling the aluminum windows. They're now trying to push the vinyl windows because the windows are very light,
mm-hmm.
and they still install the same way. It's just that they're a lighter type window, and it's just like when the if you think about the old bulbs that you normally use for your house, and now
mm-hmm.
they're everybody's going to this LED.
Right.
So, but at some point, they actually took those regular bulbs out of the store until some customers start complaining about it, and that's why they brought them back, because
mm-hmm.
It was trying to force us to use something that they wanted to use because it started out cheap at first, but
mm-hmm.
on the back end they raised the prices on that stuff and try to make more money.
Yeah,
just
because people are probably not going in if they're using those bulbs, they're not coming in as often to buy bulbs.
Yes, ma'am. Exactly. So it's going to cost more to buy a bulb that's going to last longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tried to sell them real cheap there for a minute. And then, as anything else, just like gas prices, it slowly starts creeping back up if you're not paying attention to it.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's good to know. I was wondering about the windows, because like I said, this is probably, if you're going to change out windows, this is probably the best time to go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would say the colder months would probably
mm-hmm.
be the better time to change
okay.
your windows out, because when it gets hot, that's when everybody starts doing stuff.
Right.
So that's when the price is drawn up. When it's a more of a demand for it, that's when your prices are up. So,
well, the other thing I was curious about too is, is it better to do it when it's cold or warm in terms of the expanding and contracting of the windows? Do you have to allow for any of that when you're installing?
Well, the windows is not necessarily going to expand and contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally the house that does the movement.
Right.
So. Yeah.
So, I mean, knowing that the house is going to expand and contract, what do you, I guess, would consider a happy medium in terms of the best time to install windows in the house?
To me, there's no good time or bad time, as long as it ain't on a rainy day.
Okay.
Say,
that works.
I would say
sure.
Yeah, any time is good with me, at least, yeah, how I feel about it. Any time is good with me to replace them. But like I said, with the cost, if the customer
mm-hmm.
is trying to, you know, get the most bang for the buck,
mm-hmm.
I would say do it during the colder season so that the price will be down on it.
Okay. Mr. Robinson, our helpful contractor, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time out with us, and you have a blessed day and a wonderful spring season, okay?
Yes, ma'am, you do the same. And to your listeners, don't forget to check me out. If you need a quote or anything, just let me know that you've seen the show or you listen to the podcast, and I can be reached at I got to pull out my card because I don't know my 800 number by heart. But it's
okay.
Robinson Works and Graphics And my number is, get my card out.
Well, I tell you what, you can give it to me, and I will post it on G's Power Hour Facebook page so everybody can have it, okay?
Yes, just ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All
will
right.
Do. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody
talk
have a
to
blessed
you soon.
Day. Yes, ma'am.
Have
you
a
too.
Blessed
All
day.
Right. All right, bye-bye.
And when we come back, we're going to talk to Jairo Bautista, who is with the SBDC. This is the G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here, Mr. Jairo Bautista of the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So help us get a little bit more insight in terms of what the SBDC is and what the primary goal of the SBDC is and how it helps small businesses.
Okay, so just a little bit about SBDC. We are a federally funded and state-funded program that helps small businesses grow and succeed. There is an SBDC all across the country. Our SBDC, the one located in Orlando, is part of the Florida network, so you'll find an SBDC in all counties from Pensacola down all the way down to the Keys. Really, our goal is to help small businesses. We provide no-cost consulting. We provide workshops and seminars, these days webinars now because of COVID. We provide access to different databases for market research so business owners can make the best decisions for their business. And we have specialized programs for second-stage companies. So we do a lot for small businesses.
So what types of workshops do you provide? I know for small businesses to get started, it's kind of a daunting task sometimes. Do you do anything like workshops on developing business plans, you know, financing? Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, so we provide all those types of webinars. We do every month we provide a How to Start Your Business webinar, which is about a two-hour-long webinar. To get people thinking about what it takes to open a small business, everything from registration to financing to human resources, things like that. Just get them thinking. And then we also provide more deeper webinars, more concentrated webinars. We have things on business plan writing, financial plan, cash flow analysis. We have one coming up in a few days, actually next week, on e-commerce. We have several Google webinars. So we have a wide variety of webinars.
So how did your services change with the pandemic coming up last year?
Well, everything prior to the pandemic, we were, you know, more in person. We, you know, people can come to visit our office. We can make a personalized appointment that way. Now everything's kind of gone virtual, so everything's through Zoom. So in a way, it's actually a little better because we now have more flexibility to do a few things. So people can still come and see us. That hasn't changed. We can still get, you know, you can still get the resources and advice that you need. So from that aspect, it hasn't changed, but we are a little bit more available because everything has gone virtual.
Okay, well, that's good. So approximately, I guess, well, first of all, before I go to that, what is the most, I guess, dominant or prominent need that you see with small businesses? What are they most in need of getting started? Is it finances or is it something else?
I would say it's finances because it's very difficult to start out, especially when you don't have all the capital to get for the resources each business needs. So I think capital is the most difficult one, but there are ways around it. There are different funding sources. There's the SBA loan programs. There are micro lenders available that can help facilitate those needs. So there's different ways around that. I mean, still challenging, but you know, with the right business plan, with the right strategic plan, you know, there's still an opportunity to get financing.
Are the consultants people that are already in business? Can you tell us a little bit about who helps the startups?
Okay, so as far as consultants, yeah, we have several of our consultants are past business owners. So they can help. They can definitely give you like some of their insight and their personal experiences on how they start their business and what pitfalls to avoid. A majority of our small business consultants are really area experts. For example, we have individuals with an accounting financing background. We have individuals who work in marketing and sales for corporate Fortune 500 companies. So we have a very diverse group of consultants.
So where do you see a lot of businesses that start up? Well, what percentage approximately succeed for the long haul?
Honestly, that's a difficult number to say, percentage to say, because operating a small business is very challenging. It's a job that it's not like any other job. It's, you know, on a normal job, you may work 40 plus hours a week. As a small business owner, especially starting out, sometimes it can feel like you're working 24/7. And with the COVID challenges and this the changes in the marketplace, it's really hard. It's really difficult to put a number on it, but it's challenging. It is challenging.
And I guess a lot of those changes have to do with what was, I guess, popular and needed pre-COVID versus what's popular and needed post-COVID in the midst of COVID. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's part of it. But one of the things that a lot is not really talked about is the supply chain. So, for example, let's say you're a restaurant and some of your vendors that you use, let's say for napkins, for example, that vendor that you relied on napkins may have gone out of business. So now you have to pivot into another direction to get another new supplier and go through the hoops, the challenges of going through that. So the supply chain is really one that's really been affected by not just small businesses, but all businesses really. So I think that's one of the biggest changes I've seen. What's trending in terms of what's needed out there? Obviously, prior to 2020, nobody, the market for buying masks and PPE was very, very low. Now it's pretty much what you see right now. Also, we see businesses pivot from a brick and mortar, strictly brick and mortar, to online e-commerce sales. So pre-COVID, COVID has changed the landscape of a lot of businesses. Unfortunately, some have gone out of business because of it, and others have, you know, found new opportunity through it.
So you do partner up with other organizations that assist small businesses. Can you talk a little bit about those partnerships?
Yeah. So we are, the Orlando location is, we are actually located in the National Entrepreneur Center, which is home to several other small business organizations, such as the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, African American Chamber of Commerce, Prospera. Who else is over there? The Orlando office is also part of the UCF umbrella, the University of Central Florida. So we're connected with the UCF incubation program as well. So we have those partnerships there. And then some of our other local satellite offices, they're connected with different chambers of commerce, like Kissimmee Osceola Chamber, Lake County Chamber, and things like that. So we're connected with those other organizations to help facilitate. Because there may be some things that are beyond our scope that we know our partners can definitely fill in the gap. And we definitely recommend our clients to go to the to use those resources as well.
So let's say you have a person that wants to do a small business and they're debating on whether to start from scratch on their mm-hmm. own or maybe to look into franchises. Mm-hmm. What scenario best suits what type of person? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it depends. If a business owner, if a person who's interested in running a business, kind of wants to have their own identity, but is okay with really starting from scratch, you really putting up the financing or getting the financing to start, then I would say go for the go from scratch route. If someone who's in franchising, who doesn't mind working under the umbrella of another organization, kind of being that manager for that location, and I think they can go with that route as well. I think it really depends on the temperament of the person as far as what their goals are. With franchising, you're going to have some restrictions as far as how you grow the business and how what direction you can take. You have to ask permission from the corporate offices to go in certain directions. With the other alternative, you have complete freedom to do or move the business, grow the business how you want. So it just really depends on what is your long-term goal. What is your temperament, and ideally with the financing, because a lot of franchises, they will help you with some of the financing. Of course, you're gonna have to put some skin in the game and come up with some capital, but there are advantages and disadvantages to both.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Jairo Batista of the Small Business Development Center here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. By the way, if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Hey, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us on this fantastic Friday. And just looking forward to spring. I'm excited about that. Just wanted to let you know, coming up on Monday, civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson will be back with us to give us a brief update on what's going on with the Shelvin trial. And then also we got next week coming up Fleet Farming. So make sure you join us. I think they're going to be on Friday, next Friday Also, we've got, oh my goodness, Faith Friday next Friday. So make sure you're here with us then, too. The number, by the way, is 516-387-1944. We're speaking with Iroh Batista of the Small Business Development Center here in Central Florida. So now you were talking about having skin in the game, and that's kind of difficult for a lot of small businesses. And there's a temptation of doing things like borrowing against a house, borrowing against 401ks and IRAs, going into partnerships with family members. So in some of these, although they seem like the kind of obvious choices, some cases can be kind of risky. So do you have suggestions in terms of how people go about ensuring that they have ample skin in the game?
Honestly, I think the first thing is do your research. I think it's important to understand how much it would cost for that first year in business. I would actually literally price everything out as much as possible. Okay, how much would a new laptop cost for business purposes? If you're doing e-commerce type of model, how much would it cost to maintain a website and what's all needed? A lot of our small business owners, clients, they start out when starting from scratch. They use the very bare minimum, and they kind of work their way up as sales started to grow. Then they started getting more advanced with their with their operations. So I would first things first is do their research, figure out cost everything out. How much it would cost to be in your first year, to start your first year, and then on top of that, what are your projections for sales? What do you hope to do? So I would do that. I would also do a lot of market, and with that, I would do a lot of market research just to make sure that there aren't too many competitors. And if there are too many competitors, what would it take for you as a business owner to win over a client, win over a new client from a competitor? So I mean, it starts with research, really, to be quite honest.
So how does a person do market research? Where do they go? What do they look at? And can market research be costly, or can it be inexpensive? Can you talk about the best way to do it?
It can be inexpensive. You can definitely seek out our assistance. We'd be glad to help you with that, or anyone with that. We've had, thanks to our connection with the university and the SBDC network, we have access to dozens of different research databases. We can get an idea of how many people are living in a certain county, state, region, projections, population projections in the next 5 years, 10 years. We have information resources for financial analysis as well, meaning if you provide us your numbers, we can see, okay, what is your numbers compared to the industry averages? Is it on par? Is it below? Is it above? Things like that. So research doesn't have to be expensive, especially if you go through us. We don't charge at all. So definitely start out with us. I mean, we don't have access to every single database out there, but we do have access to an ample amount where you can, start making the best business decisions for your business.
I was thinking about you were talking, I think, before about startup costs, and should that be included in startup costs, market research, and how often do you have to do that? Because I'm sure it's not a one-and-done type of deal.
Right, it's not a one-and-done type of deal at all. Yeah, I would include that in your startup initiatives. The market research is going to be very, very important because you don't want to start a business in an overly saturated market, or let's say it's an area or a type of business that is slowly phasing out, or the profit margins are diminishing because of new entries in the new technologies or new trends and things like that. So I would advise any small business, start out with the market research. You know, it's not enough to say, you know, I have a good product and I think my friends would like it. See, you know, whether people would like your product or service. Is there a need? Is there a substitute for that? A quick Google search can give you an idea of what's available already out in the market. Because usually with every business by now should have a website. So Google as much as you can as far as what other alternatives are out there. And then I would speak us out. We can definitely look at some other things and see if it is a viable business that you want to open.
What do you see as the main reason a lot of small businesses fail? And before that, I want to get to how long should a small business expect before it actually gets its legs, so to speak? You know, some businesses won't succeed right away. Is there a particular timeline that a business should look at before they determine whether they need to keep going or they need to cut their losses?
Honestly, that latter question, it really depends. Because it depends on who the target audience is, the product or services you provide, things like that. For example, for a small business who primarily wants to do government contracting, meaning they don't want to work with, or their audience isn't, you know, the general public, just government agencies, I would suggest that it's going to take a while because government has its own process and procedures. You have to get some certifications. You have to register with different vendor portals, things like that. So that's not going to be a quick buck, so to speak. So that's going to take its time. Businesses that are more B2C, you may be able to get an idea of if your business will be successful maybe in the next year or two. Just depending on, it really depends on, but it also comes down to the product. You know, is your product one of those products that are here for the moment, or do you see a long-lasting usage for this product? You know, we look at companies who are selling PPE, for example, who just sell PPE. You know, right now in the moment, definitely needed. You know, will it be needed in the next 3 or 4 years? Obviously, that depends on, you know, the global landscape with coronavirus and anything else like that. But if it has a short shelf life, what's going to be your next move? What's going to be the next product you're going to feature? Or how can you sell the advantages for long-term use? So it really depends. It's hard. I can't really put a number on it. It really depends on, you know, the business, the target audience, products and services.
So now, what are your hours if someone needs to access the SBDC?
We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. That's our main locations. We have, when we're in the office, we actually have offices all over Central Florida. Our Orlando office is headquarters to the Central Florida region. So we have offices in Orlando, Kissimmee. We have a couple offices in Lake County, Melbourne, Brevard area, Flagler and Volusia, and Sumter County as well. So, but 8 to 5 is pretty much our hours across the region, Monday through Friday.
Okay. So if I'm interested in starting up a small business, I contact you and say, I'm interested in starting up a small business. What do you tell me? What do you ask? What kind of questions do you ask?
Well, first, we ask everybody to go to our website first, www.sbdcorlando.com. Fill out a request for consulting form. That request for consulting form is going to ask you a variety of questions as far as, are you currently in business or are you thinking about opening a business? And then from there, they'll ask you different sets of questions. As far as, you know, what's your goal, what's your aim, what industry you're in. And then depending on your needs, we will match you with the correct consultant. Like I said, all of our consultants have different areas of expertise. For example, my expertise is more on the digital marketing e-commerce side. but we have other consultants who have expertise in financial management and accounting or exporting and things like that. So depending on the needs that you have, we'll match you with the correct consultant. And if it's one of those, if you have needs in a variety of different areas, we can match you with a team of consultants. So you'll find support.
Okay. And then what comes after that?
So after you fill that out, we will schedule a meeting where we discuss, you know, your business objectives. We discuss, you know, what's your plan for the next year, what's your plan for the next 5 years, and how we can, and then we kind of create a game plan in our first meeting as far as what to do. We can meet as often as you like. We can meet, you know, I have some clients that I meet with on a biweekly basis, some clients I meet with on a monthly basis, and some who I meet as needed. So it depends on the game plan that we have. But yeah, initial meetings, usually we kind of create a game plan, get an idea of what direction we should take. We'll ask you questions. We'll ask you questions regarding your business and industry, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. And then, so when, yeah, I guess like I was saying, you have a variety of different, I guess, webinars and stuff like that. So how should I put this? I was going to say, how often can a small business come back to the well? And I guess what I'm saying is, how often or is there a particular timeline that a small business can continue to come back to SBDC for assistance?
I think anybody can come see us as many times as they want for as long as they like. We have clients who have been with us for over 20 years. There's one client I can think of, they've been working with us since before 9/11, and they're still attached to us.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah, there's no expiration date. You come see us as long as you like, you know, until you're tired of us. So there's no limit at all.
Okay. All right. So again, can you put the information out there in terms of how they can get in contact with you or get in contact really with SBDC, phone numbers, emails, social media?
Definitely. So you can find us on our website, www.sbdcorlando.com. That's where you find more information about all of our programs and services, webinars, things like that. You can also fill out a free online request for consulting form. Like I said, pretty much all of our consulting is free. As far as social media, you can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. On Twitter, it's at SBDC Orlando. On Facebook, it's Florida SBDC at UCF. On YouTube, same thing, Florida SBDC at UCF as well. You can actually find some of our past webinars on our YouTube channels, and we do post them on our Facebook as well. But you can definitely find us online, sbdcorlando.com. They'll have all the information there and all of our social media links there as well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear about the YouTube presentations. I might be checking that out myself.
Great.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time out, and I'm glad we were able to shed some light on SBDC. And hopefully there's somebody out there with maybe they've saved up the stimulus money and just decided this is the new way to go, you know, with the change in different types of job opportunities out there. So really appreciate you, Mr. Batista. Have a blessed day.
No problem. Thank you. Have a blessed day as well. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and have an awesome weekend. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need.